I can't think of any better example of person, people who practice what we're talking about today than our veterans, our military people, those who serve in war. Because we've been talking about Psalms of praise, and last week we looked at Psalm 145, kind of the A to Z to praise, if you remember. And there it basically was talking about the power of praise is your personal proclamation of your relationship with God. But it's about the person of God. It's not about what God has done. It's about who he is. And in Psalm 145, they hit the greatness and the graciousness and the faithfulness and the righteousness of God. And if we can't praise because of that, then something's wrong with us. In fact, the purpose of praise, he talks about, is speaking the praise of God. It means a life, to lift up the name of God in our life, to proclaim his deeds, to tell of his glorious kingdom. In other words, all of this reminds us that we have to use our lips, our mouths, our tongues. Praise needs to be expressed. Well, today I want to go to Psalm 146. In fact, you'll find 146, 147, 148, 149, 150 all start and end the same way. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! They're called the Hallel Psalms. We're looking at Psalm 146 today. If you have your Bible, turn over to Psalm 146. Because the question comes, and this psalm raises an important question. And the question is, I know you can praise him in the good times. I know you can praise him when things are going well. But can you praise him in the bad times? Can you praise him when trouble comes? Or as the song says so well, can you praise him in the storm? That's the question. You really find out a lot about somebody when they're going through the hard times and what they really trust in. Kind of reminds me of Tom and Mary. You remember Tom and Mary? Tom got a picture from Mary. I mean, a gorgeous picture of Mary. And she writes on there, she says, Tom, I love you more than anything in the world. I will go with you everywhere you want to go. I will do whatever you want to do. I trust you. I believe in you. I think we're supposed to be together forever. Signed, Mary. P.S. If we break up, I want this picture back. Isn't that the way it is? You see, if you have a P.S. at the end, have you just invalidated everything you've said? If we say, yes, Lord, of course I will praise you, P.S., when things don't go well, I want my life back. P.S., when I'm not happy, I want my life back. P.S., when things don't go my way, God, I don't want it anymore. I want to do it my way. No, when trouble comes, can we still praise him? The theology of facing the giants. If we win, we praise him. If we lose, in all things, right? Love that. Father God, as we go now to your holy word, I pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts to ask ourselves this question. Can we still praise him when the difficulties come? For, Lord, it's ultimately about trust. It's ultimately about where we place our trust. And, Father, we can praise you, we can talk all we want, but if we have a P.S. at the end, if there's any circumstance or situation, if there's anything that holds us back, from truly trusting you and praising you no matter what, no matter when, no matter where, then our trust is not really in you at all. Lord, I pray that each of us would seek our hearts, answer that own question. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would inspire us to praise you all the time. In every circumstance. And Father, I pray the words of my mouth would not be my words, Father, but your words spoken through me. that each of us here today may receive the very message you would have us to receive. And Holy Spirit, as usual, we give you complete control. Take my mouth and my mind and guide it to your will. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Psalm 146, like I said, is the first of the Hallel Psalms. The last five are all Hallel Psalms because they all start and end with Hallelujah. But really, this psalm is about a huge thing. I want you to look at the middle of the psalm first, and then we're going to go from there. I want you to go to verse 5. The key to the whole psalm is right here in verse 5, 146, 5. This would be a great memorization verse for you. Psalm 146, verse 5. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Now, based on this, the idea came to me and began to well up in me throughout this week that this is really not about the oppressed and the difficulties of other people. This is about my difficulties, your difficulties. In fact, you're going to see that every one of these circumstances have happened to other people, but they've also happened to you and me. And so, this is about trust. Praise is really about trust. The Bible talks about out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Bible talks about storing up your treasure in heaven, not on this earth. He says, for where your heart is, there's your treasure also. Or where your treasure is, there's your heart also. So you see, in our hearts, if we truly trust him, we can truly praise him no matter what. Look what he says in verse 1 and verse 2 of Psalm 146. He says, praise the Lord. That's hallelujah. Come on, say it with me. Hallelujah. Come on, one more time. Hallelujah. That didn't hurt. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all of my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. Awesome, awesome. Part one in your outline, trust him with all I am all the time. If I could summate that verse 1 and 2, he would say this, praise him with all I am all the time. Notice this, hallelujah. What do you think hallelujah means? Praise the Lord. Yah is word for Yahweh. Lu means the. Hallel is the word for praise here. Now, the word hallel is a beautiful word. It means to be bright. It means to shine. It means to lift up. It means to let your people can't help but see you when the scripture says, let your light so shine. So everybody looks at you? No. What does it say? Let your light so shine that they may see the good works of God coming out of you, right? So that's the hallel. To be hallel means to shine bright so others can see God in you. But he adds this to it, oh my soul, oh my soul. If you dig into the Hebrew there, you find out what he's saying is with all that I am, everything that I am, with my whole depth of being, because we think about soul and spirit and mind being all divided up, but here in the Hebrew it means kind of like the splachnach in the Greek. The Hebrew is really talking about the depths of who you are. Oh, at the very depths of who I am, may I praise him. With all that I am, may I praise him. And then he goes on and adds this, I will praise the Lord all my life through good and bad. You see, all my life is not the length of my life. I'm not going to praise him all my life. I mean, that's one thing, but this time he means I'm going to praise him in all of my life. All the circumstances of my life, all the problems, all the challenges. Of course, in the great times, you praise him for all the wonderful things he's done, and you and I can find a blessing every day, can't we? You know that song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. It works. My goodness, we get so down and so blue about our life and we are so blessed. But even when we are going through trouble, I will praise him in all of my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. Now, this means the one all the way to the end. But here, this first one here, I will praise the Lord all my life, means in all areas, at all times, always. Wow. There's an attitude change. How can you do this unless you trust that he is acting on your behalf? So the question comes, part one in your outline here, can I trust him enough to praise him in trouble? That's where it comes down. In fact, you will find, I bet if I put a microchip in your mouth and I was able to monitor your words for a week. Oh boy. And then I came back and I said, let me understand what this person trust in. I believe I could find out in that 1 week what you really, really, really in the gut of gut trust in, because you will talk about that. You will act on that. It's not Sunday morning trust. I'm like, oh yeah, preacher, I believe in that. Yeah, yeah, not that. I'm talking about when you're really going through your life, when you're in your private time, when you are struggling, in your prayer life, in your experience with others, what do you talk about? What do you believe in? What do you trust in? It comes out of our mouths. That's why praise and trust are so fully connected. If you don't trust him, I always say this, but I really believe it, if you're not fully convinced, you can never, ever be contagious. If you're not fully convinced yourself, you will never share the truth with someone else. Can I trust him enough to praise him in trouble? One thing I love about this little psalm here, it has 15 times it has the word Lord in here. 15 times. 11 of them are the word Yahweh, which is the foundational term way back from the book of Exodus when Moses says, well, who do I say? You know, who sent me? He says, I am. Yahweh sent you. And then the other four are the word Elohim, which is talking about the creator, sustainer God, the one who created and sustained everything. So 15 times he says, look, trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Who's the him? God, right? And then part two, look at verse 3-6. It gives us a warning here and a blessing, a warning and a promise. He said, do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Here's the grand contrast. Oh, but blessed is the one whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord his God. There is the great contrast, the grand contrast between what we trust in, what we lean upon, what we think is important versus what really is important. First, he says the word trust, that word batach, means to take refuge. In other words, refuge is where you go when you're in trouble. He's asking the question, where are you going to turn when these difficulties come in your life? Again, I can find out what you trust when you're under the vice. You know what they say about a sponge? What happens when a sponge, when it gets under pressure? Everything that's inside squeaks right out, right? So if I were to take a vice in your life and begin to twist the vice, squeezing you in, you know what I would find? You would find in my life too, all the stuff that I really believe would come out. He's saying here, this is true here. He says, look, who do you trust? That word trust, what do you take refuge in? What do you have confidence in these times? And he says this, don't put your trust in princes. Friends, if you don't know this yet, and most of you do, people will fail. So will governments. So will organizations. Yes, Even pastors fail a lot. You see, he says this word, they are mortal men. What does mortal mean? They're going to die. They have a temporary life. In fact, he says when their spirit departs, when they come to the end of their life, what's going to happen to them? They're going to return back to the ground, just like the rest of us. We're all going to return back to the dirt that we were made from. And on that very day that they die, their plans come to nothing. Right? So we may have all the schemes and all the plans of men. We may have all of our checking account and all of our 401k. We may have, you know, all these safety valves, all these safety nets built for us. We may have the best people working with us. We may have the best church. All of it may be going great. But guess what? In a blink of an eye, any of this can fail. Any of it can. So I implore you to trust not the earthly leaders. Don't trust any earthly thing. Don't store up your treasures here on earth. They will not survive. All of it is temporal. Your wealth that you're depending on right now and you're trusting and you say, yep, I've got my reserve account. I'm good. It can go away overnight. No, he says, don't put your trust, don't take your refuge in mortal people with, because they're just going to return to the ground. But here's the key. The grand contrast of this verse is in verse 5 and following. He says, blessed, that word is hesher. Hesher. It means a deep sense of contentment and peace. He said, you want to find contentment. It's not in anything human. It's not in anything that is existing. It is only in God. Blessed, oh, the happiness of, oh, the contentment of, oh, the peace of. What? He whose help, hezer, one who supports or strengthens, the one that he goes to in times of trouble, one who lifts him up, one he can depend upon, one who has a safety net underneath. It's kind of beautiful to me that this word hezer is the same word that he gave Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said, you're to be a hezer for Adam, a helpmate, a strengthener, one who is supports and strengthens. So here, God is saying to you, I will be like your mate, except I am not mortal. I won't fail. I will be there all the time. Those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope, another great word, seber, dependence into the future. The one you can depend on into the future. Hope is that thing that you stand upon, looking forward into the future, and you know they will stand. Because God does never change. There's no shadow of turning with him. You know what that means? Shadow of turning means that you see his backside. You'll never see his backside. He is always facing right at you. There's no shadow of turning with God. Wow. We could go off on this for weeks, couldn't we? And not only that, this one who is the help, this one who is the hope, look what he says about him. Verse 5 here, the maker of heaven and earth. Man, I need to go off on that. Next week we're going to go off on that. Because I want you to understand, praise is built so much on the natural world we see. You know, if you haven't had anything good happen in your life, just go out and look a little bit. You can't see God in nature. But anyway, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, notice this. The sea and everything in them. Now, you're thinking of fish, aren't you? Right? Remember what the sea was in the Old Testament verbiage? Sea, in many of the Old Testament scriptures, has to do with chaos. It has to do with the evil realm. Because you see here, the earth and everything, it says here, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, that's pretty much everything, isn't it? Why would you add the sea to heaven and earth? You already said earth. But what if sea here is all the evil chaos in the spiritual realm? Yes, he created everything. and he can also control the sea and everything in it. Isn't that cool? He looks back at this man up here and says, hey, this prince, he's going to die. He's mortal. And he says here, who cannot save you? This dude can't solve your problem. He can give you money. He can give you a house. He can help you have a good life. But when it comes to standing before God, is that man going to help you whatsoever? No, he can't save you. God can save you because he created the heavens and the earth and even the evil and the chaos. He created it and controls it. And then he says, the Lord who remains faithful forever. Wow. So he is the maker and remains faithful forever. Verse 7. Two of the many reasons to trust God, not men. And then verse 7 through 9, he goes through a list of troubles. And for, like I said, the first part of this week, I was thinking of other people that maybe would have this problem. I was thinking, I don't have this problem. Like this. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. I said, yeah. There are people in China right now who can't worship like we are today because the government has oppressed them. He gives food to the hungry. Number two, be on your outline, hungry. You know, I'm not very hungry very often. I'm very blessed to have all the food that I need. The Lord sets prisoners free. Yep, there are a lot of people suffering in the world, martyrs who are in prison right this minute for their faith. The Lord gives sight to the blind. Well, I definitely don't have that problem. I got great eyeballs. Very blessed to be able to see very clearly. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. You know, I don't have the heavy weight. I'm not struggling in slavery or anything like that. The Lord loves the righteous. Verse 9, the Lord watches over the alien. This is not from other planets. This is from other countries, people outside. He sustains the fatherless and the widow. Again, I'm neither one of those. I've got a wonderful father. I'm not a widow. So what does this have to do with me? It hit me yesterday. You know, Scripture does that sometimes. Sitting there thinking and propelling all of this word out to somebody else. It just seems like, you know, other people are oppressed and hungry and prisoners and blind and bowed down and aliens. And it finally hit me. You know, all of us go through times in our lives when we share what the oppressed. You may have someone at work or at home who's trying to oppress your rights as a Christian. Trying to oppress your words and what you're doing. They're trying to oppress who you are, and they're taking away your resources and limiting your freedom. You understand oppression, don't you? The question is, can you praise him even when you're under oppression? And maybe we're not very hungry in this country, but all of us know there are times when we don't have our basic needs met. Struggling with jobs or experience or family. And we don't have that food really, that hunger really represents more of a basic need. And there are times when we struggle to have those basic needs met. I think we all relate with that. And what he says is, when you're in that place, can you still praise me? Can you still do it? Do you trust me to feed you? Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. We believe that all food comes from him. Do you trust that he will feed you when you're hungry? Prisoners, there are so many times when we've been misunderstood. Well, we maybe have not been in a real prison. I've never blessed to never have been in a real jail or real prison anywhere in this world. But there are times when I felt imprisoned by my circumstance, by my habits, by my problems, whatever they are, I felt imprisoned. Same truth. When I'm in that time of prison, can I praise him? And definitely I'm not blind. Yes, I am. Very blind. I need sight. not physically, but definitely spiritually. I've definitely been bowed down in prayer or oppression. I've definitely felt like I was an outsider in an alien world. I've definitely felt the pain of wondering if my father, who is my father? Can I have this father? And the widows and the pain they feel as a family being separated and looked down upon in society. We all know how that feels. And here's the point. The grand point. Can you trust him enough to praise him in troubles? Now these people in the days of the writer of the psalm, they really had real oppression, governments and hunger and prisons and all. They really had this, but I can see for me, can you still say hallelujah when it's not all going well? Because the end of the story, look at verse 10. We're going to end with this one. You trust him because he reigns forever. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. So, what do? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The word reigns there means it's a present tense. He doesn't say he will reign. You say, well, when Jesus comes back, then he'll reign on earth. Or when we get to heaven, then he reign. No, it's a present tense. Is he reigning right now? Is he absolutely in control? The word Malach means to sit upon the throne. If he is sitting upon the throne of our heart and the throne of our life, we can praise him regardless of what the world or anything else is happening, right? He is reigning on this earth, and he reminds them over all generations. You know, I heard some people say this week, boy, we're just headed so bad. I don't think, you know, we're going to lose this whole world. You know, future generations are going to be impossible. Is that what God's word says? No. Come on, we're all messed up. We're all sinners. We're all broken. Amen? And he's still reigning. Now, he is letting us go under testing. He does not promise us the rose garden. Never has. But he says, when you walk through the water, I'll be with you. And he will encourage us to grow strong. And I just want to encourage you that here's your homework. As you leave this building today, it'll probably take about 10 seconds, and you'll hit some trial or tribulation or difficulty. All right? Maybe your car doesn't start. Here we go. I don't know. I don't want to bless that on anybody, by the way. But I want you and me to set a goal to praise him for every trouble, every bit of trouble we find this week. I want us to praise him for it. Thank you, Lord, for this low bank account number right here. Thank you that I have to go see the bank and beg for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for my wife and my husband and my friend and my family because they're driving me nuts. Thank you, God, for this stupid car. It broke down again, but I thank you for 10 years of good service. Whatever. See what I mean? If you really trust him, you can praise him in all circumstances here. I mean, I was amazed. One of the stories that really amazed me is the 1988 Olympics. Anybody ever heard of the slalom, what is it called? Slalom, yeah, skiing, you know, through those things, right? Those people get up between 75 and 90 miles an hour in the Olympics, skiing down a hill through those turns, right? Amazing. Well, in 1988 Olympics, they had a blind slalom team. How in the world, right? A blind slalom team. Here's how it works. They would work with a partner, a sighted partner, on the flats, just learning how to stay connected with each other and work together. And then they would slowly teach them, when I say left, you got to turn left. Really fast. When I say right. And so in the Olympic Games, they had a blind along with a sighted. And the sighted was guiding them which way to go at every turn. I mean, I couldn't imagine doing it with sight, But these people did it blind. 75 miles an hour down this hill, going through these gates and finishing to the end. You know, friends, that's really a picture of our spiritual life. I mean, we think we have sight, but when your life gets going about 90 miles an hour and you have to take these lefts and these rights and you don't know what to do, who are you going to turn to? Are you going to look to me? Are you going to look to some person? Are you going to look to a friend, a neighbor and say, hey, I need your help to know when to turn left and when to turn right? Are you going to? Well, if you do, they will fail. We all will fail. Every one of us. But there's one who goes right along beside us. The Parakletos, the Holy Spirit. He rides in our life right along beside us. And I think it's a great image because I feel like I'm just slipping and sliding on these skates. You know what I mean? These skis. I'm just sliding around saying, oh, Lord. And you get to that turn and the Lord says, turn left. And I'm going, I'm trying to turn left. And it's just sliding out there, you know? But he goes with us. You know, if you'll just trust him, the right one, he will get you through the course. Now, the good news is our course is not timed. I don't think he's worried about getting us there in a hurry. But he wants us to get through the course. As blind as we are, if we'll just trust him, he will guide us every step. Lord, I thank you this morning for the opportunity to come here today and hear this psalm. And oh, let me just restate the key here. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord his God. Oh, Lord, just let that ring in our ears. Psalm 146:5. Let it ring in our ears throughout this week. Lord, at every encounter that we come into, whether it's oppression or hunger or prisons or blindness or bowed down or aliens or fatherless, whatever we feel, whatever we experience, whatever we go through, Lord, I pray that you will help us to turn it into a praise and trust you to know the way through. Thank you, Father, for every person here today. Lord, I pray especially for our friends who've come here who don't know you, because they're sliding down a hill with no help at all. And life is quick and difficult and challenging. And I just can't imagine living this life without God beside us, without your Holy Spirit in us. So, Father, I pray for them. I just ask them to consider right now today. Maybe you need to say yes to Jesus Christ. You need to invite him to come into your life. He will come in and he will show you the way. We all need Jesus. We all need his forgiveness. We're all sinners, broken. But Jesus can heal and forgive any sin. Everyone. So if that's you today, if you just want to put your hand up today, if you just want me to pray for you, and I'll just pray for you, and we'll just ask Christ to come in, and we'll begin the journey of discipleship together. Just lift your hand up before him. Thank you, Father, for giving us the opportunity to know you. And Lord, we do want to know your presence, like that song said. We want your Holy Spirit to come and just flood this place and fill it up. So, Father, I want us all to go in prayer. This altar's open for you just for a minute. I just pray that you will meet us here and help us to praise you in the storm.